702.
The upside of failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
The upside of failure is a feature that we have on a Friday. And it's easy to look at situations as failure, or you can look at them as something else. Some people will say the failures they see as lessons, so they don't really consider them as failures. So what we do in the upside of failure is we speak to an individual, sometimes a well-known personality, or sometimes a owner of a business, anybody who really has some amazing gems to share from their experiences where it may have seemed at the time that they have failed, but it turns out that they did not. Riyad Musa is an actor. You may know him from New Material, but he also happens to be a medical doctor. He's also a stand-up comedian. And can you believe it? Before he studied medicine, he spent 3 years studying to be a magician. So he will have a lot to share with us in terms of the upside of his so-called failures. Now, South Africa's funniest doctor, Riyad Musa, is actually coming back to the big screens. You enjoyed Material. Now comes New Material. And this is the sequel to the hugely popular award-winning film. And it came out in 2012. And it's going to be opening in cinemas nationwide today. That is the 26th of November. Now, one of South Africa's most charming and best-loved comedians, Musa, was recently in the Netflix comedy special Life Begins, where he touches on turning 40, how spouses argue, local accents, negotiating with children, and so much more. And with a growing international audience, Musa has also had several one-man shows under his belt, including Strictly Halal, For the Baraka, and Doctor's Orders, all instant hits. If you don't know him by now, you definitely will know him after today. He actually contracted COVID-19 at the end of 2020 and lost family members to the pandemic, but that has not stopped him. During these chaotic and very stressful pandemic times, Musa launched a weekly virtual comedy club called The Best Medicine, featuring comedians from all over the world and aimed at creating opportunities to heal through humor, laughter, and many weird and wonderful therapies. Now, in typical Musa fashion, one of his routines was titled, I Got COVID for the Holidays. And in the case of New Material, COVID had actually forced the movie release date a little bit out, and they are so excited as a team that they'll be able to release the film in cinemas. So I'm going to encourage you all to head out to the cinemas and make sure you get out there to see New Material, a proudly South African film that is also starring Vincent Ebrahim, Denise Newman, Karishma Basde, Zakia Patel, Kurt Squinrad, and Sashi Naidu. The film is directed by Craig Frymont, who also directed Material and Beyond the River, and is produced by Robbie Thorpe, who also produced Material and Via. It was edited by Megan Gill of Official Secrets, Eye in the Sky. And New Material is produced by Ochre Moving Pictures and Blue Blood Africa, and is distributed by Indigenous Film Distribution. So that is Riyad Musa, who's going to be our guest for The Upside of Failure.
The upside of failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
Taking your calls, 011-883-0702, as we are getting our guest. And what questions do you have for Riyad Musa in terms of the upsides of his failures? Get in the conversation. 072-702-1702 for the WhatsApps. Tweet at Relebogile M and SMS 31702. Riyad, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Like, thematically, this works very nicely. The upside of my technological failure. What's the upside of that? Right? I've got all the most expensive equipment in here, right? And I can't connect to you guys. What's up with that?
What's up with that is we live in South Africa. We live in South Africa. So, Riyad, I mean, we are very, very excited. Your film is actually coming out today.
Right, that's correct, yes. So everybody's very nervous. I mean, everybody in my skin is very nervous. No, I'm not. I'm feeling reasonably good because we've been having a number of premieres recently, and there have been very, very positive results. and people responded very, very positively. And I was, because, you know, for the first, with the movie, first movie, there was no expectation with the original material, or I don't know if I must call it old material now.
Yes.
Right? There was no expectations, you know, and when I was going to do the film, it was Ronnie Apteker. I was working as a doctor, and he approached me after me doing a stand-up comedy show at Cool Runnings, and he was like, "Really, you're a doctor comedian? It's an interesting story. We should develop a script." And I'm like, "Dude, I've got war drives tomorrow. What are you talking about?" But then many years on, like I think 7 years later, we had a script, we shot the film, and we won like 5 SAFTAs, completely unexpectedly. But now there's expectations and
pressure.
I was nervous about that. Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, I try to tell people it's a different film, watch it with fresh eyes. But, you know, it's surprisingly to me, many people have said that it's much more layered than the first one. And, you know, the emotions are harder hitting. So it's interesting. I don't know. I'm just, it's an experiment for me, and I'm excited for people to watch it.
Listen, I think that it's going to do well, and just have the confidence in the product that you've put your heart and soul into. Now, let's talk about failure. What is your general outlook on failure?
Well, that was an interesting thing. That's why we discussed, you know, failure for me has never been a focal point, because I've always thought that failure is it's a clue to success, in a sense. Like you never learn from your successes. Successes build ego and build your sense of self-worth, but failure shows you how to improve. I first of all find it very difficult to see things as failures. You know, I kind of overlook it. Because I just think that it's like I've always been inspired by Michael Jordan my whole life. And there's this very interesting quote from Michael Jordan where he talks about how many shots he's missed in his life, right? And he sort of lists all the times he's missed, all the times he's missed buzzer beaters, all the times he's lost games, all of that. And he says, "I failed and failed over and over again in my life, which is why I succeed." And as a young person, that influenced me quite a bit. I could never quite jump as high as him. I always wanted to, but I could jump higher. That is the point, you know. I practiced jumping, and I was like, for Indian guy, I could get up. I could get up for Indian dude, but I have thin, hairy legs. Right, it's still an impressive thing, the way I could jump, but I never could quite dunk. Although my son now, he's 30 years old, and you know, he's already almost beating me at basketball.
So what do you share?
Relationship with failure.
What do you share with your children? What do you tell your children around failures or things that they consider failure?
No, I generally talk about that to not focus on, just understand that there must be a different relationship to failure. You know, people build it up too much. It's a natural part of learning. You never, ever learn from your successes, right? In the sense that it sort of just reinforces that which you know already. You know, I think it just basically reinforces your original strength. But failure, that's where there are clues to ways in which you can improve yourself and ways in which you didn't quite understand yourself or understand your craft. And if you are able to figure this thing out, then, you know, you may end up with something way more powerful. Like, I mean, just what happened in the pandemic, you know, in the sense of the challenge of trying to do these virtual shows.
Yes.
You have to perform for no laughs, right, essentially. You perform for the comment section a lot of times. Sometimes you just stream out, you don't hear anything. Or sometimes you perform over Zoom and the laughter is very
strange and muted. It's not stand-up comedy, because stand-up comedy is a conversation, right? And I'm used to beautiful theaters, you know, very often thousands of people laughing, so it reverberates within the core above my being. Now I'm performing in a room above my bloody garage, right? People don't know, a lot of times I'm not wearing pants, my personal toilet right off the screen. It looks fine behind me, right? But like, I can't hear laughs because there's no audience, but I can hear flushing very clearly.
Yes.
This is not good for my self-esteem. I was doing one of these virtual shows recently. While I'm doing the show, my son decides to use the loo while I'm doing the show. Like, so I'm like live streaming out here, and he's streaming live right next to me, and I'm like, bruh, you're embarrassing me. So it was very challenging, because essentially I tell people that it's like swimming with no water, you know?
Yes.
It's a weird thing, you know, to do stand-up comedy without any laughs. And then you perform for the comment section. So instead of a laugh, you get lol, you know? And LOL is not the same, you know?
Yes,
You know, because people type LOL and you don't even really laugh out loud. Like, because laughter is actually a social behavior. And a lot of times, you know, you laugh because you're with other people. You're 8 times more likely to laugh when you're with people than when you're by yourself. So if you type LOL, like, I find myself doing it as well, you're not really all the time laughing out loud, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So it's a strange thing. And then you perform and you do these virtual shows, and it feels so weird and so off. But I've been engaging with, the few comedians that are engaging with the virtual space, and I've learned a lot about, you know, developing this medium. Although I wasn't that good at it, because like I couldn't even get to the Zoom meeting earlier on. But you know, I've become much better with virtual performances than before. And now that we're emerging from the pandemic, right? I'm actually very I'm already set up to do what they call a hybrid show, and you know, incorporate the live audience situation, but as well as the virtual option. So now my setup over here, although not really planned, like it may result in me having this whole new opportunity to do live shows for the audience, but at the same time as a facility to stream things.
And you actually now can possibly reach bigger audiences than what you might have had access to prior.
Exactly. But yeah. Now what is happening now through doing the shows, a lot of the shows are horrible because it's a new medium.
Yes.
And, but I have to understand that through those failures and those difficulties, every time I get a little clue, another little nugget of information or a little tiny discovery. And if I can solve that little problem, it just improves the overall experience, you know?
Yes.
But I got to go through all those very, very negative things in order to get to where I am. And I'm not there yet, but I've seen glimpses of it. And that's very important with you know, when you approach failure, because when you engage with failure, you can't just have failures all the time. You have to see, you know, the fruits of the failure, as it were.
And that obviously will come from the perspective you take out of the so-called failures. You're not finding yourself in this dark hole of seeming failures. You're seeing what the lesson is so that you can get that light. And I'm curious now, one of your failures, let's start with your first one. What was your first failure? Because you were a magician in your previous life. What happened?
Yes. So it was in high school, and I used to go to this place called the College of Magic in Lansdowne Road, Claremont. It's very different to Hogwarts. Like Hogwarts, you enter there through a portal, magical portal in a train station. I had to walk past a taxi rank to get to my magic school. It was just an extracurricular sort of activity. I really enjoyed it, but they used to have these competitions. And I entered a competition one, a stage competition, and something went horribly wrong. you know, and it was a dramatic competition. This is when I was trying to do dramatic magic, like in Copperfield. So my hair was all blow dried, and you know, the music was dramatic, and you know, my aim was to have this orb float across the stage, this magical orb. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of the magic, but the trick of the magic involved a wire, you know, a wire that no one could see. Cat, out of the bag, right? And we had set up the lighting the afternoon perfectly so that it looked amazing. And I think I was in standard 8 or standard 7, I can't remember exactly, but it was in high school. And what I did was with dramatic, there were a couple of also funny moments in it, because I always had the inclination to be funny, but primarily the piece was a dramatic piece. And as I was making the orb float across the stage, no one had told me, even though I set up the lighting perfectly and it looked like it was floating, no one told me that there was a guy going to be doing flash photography at the magic show competition. So every couple of seconds, this bro would take a picture, and then the clothesline would be clearly visible.
Oh, goodness.
The lighting was adjusted, right? And there was quite a lot of laughs at my expense in the audience. And, you know, the also aspects of the show then became heightened. The comedic aspects also became heightened from that. So when I drove away with my parents, obviously I was very dejected about because I didn't do well in the competition. But what stuck with me is how hard people laughed at
they laughed at you, and you found the comedy the laughter.
But the jokes as well. They laughed a lot at the jokes as well, because it almost set up like I was bumbling.
Mm.
And I always loved the humor, but that just gave me a focus on humor, because that was the positive that I took from that experience. The dramatic stuff didn't work well, but the comedic, actually made me feel quite good. So that was one of the first moments that opened me to the power of humor and laughter.
And just to wrap up, because we are running out of time, the big one of your failures, which is the time you actually took a break from medicine but ended up learning about stand-up comedy. You have about a minute.
Yes. Oh no. Then I took a break from medicine. I after fourth year medicine, during that time, and because I was having a lot of doubts about whether this was the path I wanted to follow, and then I took a break. My father sent me to upper campus to do extra studying, because that's what Indians do. You're gonna take a break from this degree. During a break, you don't go overseas. You go study something else. It was during that time that I supposedly was, you know, failing as a medical doctor and a medical student, that I actually found the profession that I now find myself in. I did go back and finish my medical degree, but also with the added, insight into, you know, my bliss in life, which ended up being a stand-up comedy.
Riyad Mosa, thank you so much. Speaking on the upside of failure.